Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've had the chance to be with us, you know we've started a brand new series in this brand new year. It will cover January and February, an 8-part series, and we're on number 2 today. As we are looking at this particular portrait of God that I just love throughout the scriptures, it's how the Lord is our new life. He is our new life, who's done so many things for us to give us a new life. 20 of these things is what I have thus far, and there may be more as we go along this series, but right now we've just gone through number 1 and 2, and so we're going to pick it up at number 3. And if you have your Bibles, may I invite you to go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, as we continue our scripture safari to see all the different ways that the Lord, our new life, has actually given us a new life in so many ways. So, as you're making your way there, though, just a quick reminder that these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website. It's called Helping You Hear God, and it's at markpg.org. On that landing page, you'll see a number of tools to help you hear God, and one of them is a box that has the word broadcast. So just click on the broadcast box. On the next page, click on Portraits of God, and there you'll have the archived messages to catch up if you've missed, or to listen to again, or use in small groups, whichever you'd like to do. So that's at markpg.org, helping you hear God. Oh, that's my heartbeat. I want you to be able to hear the whispers of God, my friend. Well, speaking of which, this is when we, as is our custom, take a moment to go before the Lord and ask Him to speak. Shall we? Lord, I'm just so grateful for the privilege to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at your feet. And Lord, I have the privilege of being able to offer the things that I have been learning over the years and am still learning, because you do so much for us and with us and in us. And so as we continue our journey in discovering how you are our new life, may we receive these truths deep into our body, soul, and spirit, that we can become more like you. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His cleansing and healing, transforming and empowering and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends, just to kind of set the table and give you about a 90-second overview of where we've been so that we can continue our journey forward. The first thing we discovered is how the Lord, our new life, number one, transforms us into new creations. You have been transformed into a new creation if you have gotten saved, born again, entered covenant with Christ, become a Christian, repented of your sin, and let Him just draw you into Himself and make you His own. We say it so many ways throughout the scriptures, but this is where we discover this striking truth that we are being and have been and are being transformed into new creations, which I'll talk about a little bit later. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I love this 2 Corinthians 2:17 passage. It gives us this marvelous truth. We see it elsewhere, which we'll get to in the series ahead. And so I also wanted to highlight 1 Thessalonians 5:23, because the question is, well, what becomes new? What has passed away? What has become new? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body There it is. We're tripart beings, spirit, soul, and body, be kept complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as new creations, we have been made complete. We are being made complete and will be made complete. And again, I'll explain that in a moment. In short, the metaphor we used is how a caterpillar goes through metamorphosis and becomes a new creation, a butterfly. My friend, if you're a believer, you are now a butterfly, not a caterpillar destined to crawl around and eat, leaves and crawl in the dirt. But now you're a butterfly designed to fly in divine union with the Lord Himself, making you a whole new creation. Wow. So check that out on the website at markpg.org for more. Then we also discovered last week in that message that not only does the Lord our new life, not only does he transform us into new creations, but he resurrects our dead spirits. Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. He resurrects our dead spirits. Today we're going to talk about our struggling souls and our eternal bodies. That's the body, soul, and spirit, tripart nature of us. I'm going to explain how all that works together. It's fascinating. But here, our dead spirit, it died because of original sin. Remember when God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do and disobey me, in that day you shall surely die. Well, they didn't die physically, so their bodies were okay. Their mind, will, and emotions, which is the soul, remained okay. But their spirits died. And it gets passed on, that result passes on to us, and our spirits must be made alive. And when we come to Christ, we are made alive. Our spirits are made alive in Christ. So, now watch this now. Here we go. So, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, and we will be saved from the presence of sin. This is that tripart thing we're talking about. We have been paid from the penalty of sin. Our spirit has been made alive now. We're dead to the law. And the penalty of sin has been dealt with by God's becoming flesh to dwell among us and dying on the cross as the Son and satisfying the justice of God. We have been saved. It's a done deal, nailed down from the penalty of sin because we've had a resurrected spirit and become one with Christ. That is so cool. And yet, today, I want to show you how we are being saved from the power of sin. This is because we go through what's called progressive sanctification. The first one is justification. We're justified by the work of Jesus on the cross. Our spirits have been made alive now. We're all in. Once saved, always saved. And we don't have to worry about that. But our mind, will, and emotions, it's a work in progress while we're here on earth. So we are being saved progressively from the power of sin, and that's called sanctification. So we have justification, sanctification. We're going to talk more about this later. I'm just giving you the overview today. And then one day we will be saved from the presence of sin. When? When this physical, temporary body of ours dies, and we're given a brand new body in Christ. We're going to get that today. We will be saved from the presence of sin and be with the Lord forever and ever. So isn't that cool? We have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's about our spirit. We are being saved from the power of sin. That's about our soul. And we will be saved from the presence of sin. That's about our physical bodies. All right? So let's unpack that a little more in detail. So we're seeing that the Lord, our new life, transforms us into new creations, resurrects our dead spirits. Today, let's talk about how he matures our struggling souls. He matures our struggling souls. We'll all admit that even after when we got saved, that didn't solve all of our problems. We still struggle. We still struggle with sin. Well, why is that and how does that work? All right, here we go. Colossians chapter 3. you're a note taker, you can jot this down. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Here's what the Bible says. You stripped off the old self. Now, let me stop there. Remember, that dovetails with 2 Corinthians 2:17, that we are a new creation and old things have passed away and all things have become new. So that's true with those three different ways. It's a done deal regarding our spirit, but now we're going to see it's a progressive deal regarding our souls. You stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on a new self. You're a butterfly now, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. So here's that we're in transition segment. We have the done deal segment regarding our spirit, the justification thing, but now the process, we are being renewed. That is, our mind, will, and emotions is being renewed. We're being taught and discipled in letting the mind of Christ rule in our lives, in our oneness with Him, letting our new self be the thing that shines, that we focus upon, right? But it is a process. It's not immediate. That's why we call it progressive sanctification. So does that mean that we have a new spirit and an old spirit? No, we have a brand new spirit. We saw that, resurrected. It's good. What about the word nature? Do we have a new nature and an old nature? No, our nature is one. We are one with Christ. All right, we're one with Christ. It's not a new and old nature. The old and new stuff, the struggle out of Romans 7, and by the way, last week I misspoke. I said Romans 14. Romans 7 is where we have that struggle about the very thing I want to do, I don't do, the very thing I do, and all that stuff. It's talking about the struggle we have in our souls, but not our spirits, our mind and will and emotions that come sometimes are at play against each other. It's in the process of being renewed. Let me see if I can illustrate this, because I know this gets confusing. So let me use another metaphor. When we get saved, let's use fire hydrants. When we get saved, when we become a brand new fire hydrant. A fire hydrant spews out water, right? Well, when we're unsaved, the caterpillar metaphor before, let me go to a fire hydrant that's spewing out sewer water. Why? Because there's a dead spirit and there's a lot of sin coming out of us by nature. We just keep spewing that out. Do we do some good and positive things? Sure. But the big thing out of our nature is this sewer water coming out of the fire hydrant. And that's a sad deal. But when we get saved, here's the question. Do we now get an additional, now a good spirit? And now we have one hydrant spewing out sewer water, sin, and another hydrant now that we're saved, two natures, two hydrants spewing out good water, fresh from the Holy Spirit? Well, some would say yes, and that's how you explain Romans chapter 7, about how we struggle, the thing that we want to do to honor the Lord we don't do, we're doing the very thing we don't want to. Oh, man. But when you go on to that passage, it says, What can I do with this? How can this be done? Well, when it goes on to say that when you became made alive in spirit, you're able to walk in the spirit. You don't have two natures, you have the one. However, what you do have left over are the cesspools of sewage water that you were spewing out before you were saved. Think about a fire hydrant. It leaves all these pools around, and if it was sewer water coming out of that, then you have these cesspools that get stinky and smelly, and we can slosh around in it, we can fall in it, and the enemy can make us, you know, just swim in it through his deception and all that stuff. We don't have to. The good news is we're not producing it anymore because we don't have that old nature. Bad news is there's a lot of cesspools we have to deal with. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that cesspool? Well, the Bible tells us over in John chapter 15, to abide in Him to bear much fruit. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abiding means to be connected and stay connected continually. In that vine metaphor, it's a branch that needs to be connected to the trunk of the vine. And as long as you connected to that trunk, you will bear fruit. A branch doesn't make fruit, it bears fruit. Or we can switch over to an apple orchard metaphor. I visited an apple orchard years ago in Missouri. I was doing a Bible conference there and got invited to one of the church members' apple orchard. And he explained to me how his orchard was actually at one time wild apple trees, and that fruit was no good. So they cut off all the branches. And they had shipped in some branches from Red Delicious apple trees from Washington State. And when they arrived in his Missouri orchard, he explained to me, we engrafted the branches of Red Delicious apples onto the trunks of the wild apple trees. And that's what you're seeing now out there. I'm going, wow, that is amazing. Well, now, I'm a city guy. I know you can't nail or screw those branches in, so how do you do it? Oh, that's a good question. You know, we just cut a slash into the trunk, and then we cut off the end of the branch to expose it. Then we put it into that crack that we made in the trunk, and then we put some organic material in that crack, and then we wrap it with tape, and then we just go up the tree trunk with all these different branches that we engraft onto the main trunk, and that's what you see. I said, well, that's amazing. But now I got to add another question. How do you know it works? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, well, son, if you get apples, it works. If you don't get apples, it didn't work. Well, I love that. And I asked, well, I guess that means a few branches on a tree don't bear fruit. Yeah, that's right. For some reason, we don't know why, it just doesn't make the connection deep within, even though we engrafted the same way. Pack it with organic material and tape it. Some just don't take, so we just break it off, throw it away. By the fruit, you know if it's alive and real or not. And that John 15 passage talks all about that, my friend. It's a progressive thing, though, for a branch that's been engrafted onto a trunk, for it to start budding and then growing leaves, and then growing leaves, and then growing the fruit, and then the fruit to grow and become juicy. That takes time. And it's the same with you and me. When we get engrafted into Christ, that is when we get saved. Yes, he resurrects our dead spirits. That's a done deal. We're justified. Going to go to heaven when we die. That's great. But not only does he resurrect our dead spirits, now he begins maturing our struggling souls, our branchy part, so that we will bear fruit. Now, here's the deal. As we are growing in Christ, let's get very practical now. There's sometimes we have some cesspool issues in our lives, that we maybe have blind spots about some character issues. People try to speak to us about that and show a scripture about that, and we just are so closed and defensive about it. We go, no, I don't know. That's not true. It doesn't matter. I'm never going to forgive that person. They hurt me. I'm never going to forgive them. But the Bible says you're supposed to forgive them. Fine, but whatever. I'm not. Just can't do it. They're dead to me. Okay, that's no fruit. That's jaw set rebellion. That we can easily see needs to be dealt with. But let me go on to another category of fruit. That's just no fruit. You can kind of diagram this with a chart with four headings. The first column, no fruit. Don't even want to try. That's just rebellion. And sometimes kids can get rebellion in the family. And we as a family of God, we can get a little rebellion in an area of our lives. Doesn't mean we're unsaved, but it means it's a big cesspool we're wallowing in, drowning in. And the Lord wants to heal us and rescue us from that drowning cesspool, leftover sin attitude and perceptions that we have. Well, we get a little better than that, and we say, okay, I guess I need to deal with it. And I'll try to forgive, or I'll try to not be as harsh, or whatever. And so we give it some kind of a lame try just to get people off our back. All right, I call that photo fruit. First we have no fruit, then we have photo fruit. Here's a picture of an apple. There it is. I'm done. No, not quite. The Lord wants to go deeper than that. It's at least you're trying. Give you kudos for that. So we might get more convicted at that point. All right, I really need to do better. And so then we try harder, and we try to really portray whatever quality is lacking in us, whatever sin or cesspool issue is showing up. And actually, we can get pretty good at portraying patience, portraying forgiveness, portraying kindness, portraying goodness, portraying holiness. We get so good at it, we can become an Academy Award winning fruit actor and portray it. And I call that wax fruit. My wife tells a story of growing up, and they had a fruit bowl in their home. And when they have a church fellowship over, people would take mistakenly pick up an apple and bite into it. They know because they saw the teeth marks back in the wax fruit, because they'd take the bite, they'd be embarrassed, so they'd put it back and go, oof. Well, wax fruit can look like the real deal from afar. But when you take a bite, it's not juicy at all. It's just wax. And some people try to do the Christian life by performance, acting like they're doing the right thing. Now, it's a good next step. At least you're trying. You're trying to be imitators of Christ. But it gets better and deeper than that. The Lord wants you to not make wax fruit. You can make wax fruit. Good artists can do that. No, you bear fruit. And you do that by abiding in Christ. The more you hang around Jesus, the more the good fruit will come. You will begin to bear His kindness, His goodness, His compassion, His forgiveness. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. That's how He matures our struggling souls. And we experience that over a lifetime, my friend. This is how we explain dealing with sin areas in our lives, even though we have one nature, a brand new spirit, as unto the Lord. Our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions are still being matured by the Lord while we're still on this planet. And the progression is sometimes we just don't get it, don't see it. No, there's no problem, no fruit there. Then we try a little beyond that, and we have the photo fruit, then we have the wax fruit, but oh, the juicy fruit comes the more we abide in Christ and bear His fruit rather than make our own facsimile of the fruit of character, of love, of joy, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Bear that by abiding in Christ, and the cesspools will be being cleaned up, not by you, but by Christ. All right, so the Lord, our new life, transforms us into new creations, resurrects our dead spirits. Number three, matures our struggling souls. And today we'll do one more. He gifts us with eternal bodies. One day, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, 1 Corinthians 15, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and it will be changed. This is when these temporary issued earth suits that were designed to decay, they're wearing out because they're temporary for this earth. We're going to be exchanging this. We're going to be changed and receive imperishable, eternal bodies. He's one day will be gifted with eternal bodies, and these temporary suits will be gone. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. So there it is. Though our outer body is wearing out physically, man, my ears are going bad these days. My knees sometimes act up, you know, and all kinds of things we deal with physically, but that's okay because these are temporary issues. When we go home to glory, when we die or the second coming of Christ comes at the last trumpet. And that way, the Lord will gift us with eternal bodies. And at that time, we will be saved from the presence of sin. So there you have it. We have been saved from the penalty of sin because we have resurrected dead spirits, made alive. We are being saved from the power of sin. Our mind, will, and emotions, our souls, are being transformed into Christ-likeness the more that we abide in Him. And finally, our bodies will be gifted with eternal bodies. We will be saved from the presence of sin. Is that cool or what? Oh, my friend, He is our new life, and He is giving us a new life in three different ways. Have been given it, saved from the penalty of sin, are being given it in our souls to save us from the power of sin, progressive sanctification, and we will be saved from the presence of sin when we get brand new bodies, eternal bodies, and that's glorification. Justification first, sanctification, progressive, second, glorification when that trumpet sounds. Oh, Lord, we just thank You for this deep, deep truth. Thank You for making us into butterflies, Lord. New fire hydrants spewing out Your good waters, oh, Lord, and how You form us more and more into the image of Christ, bearing fruit. We don't have to make it. Oh, what a difference, Lord. Thank You for how You, as our new life, transform us into this kind of new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our new life.